I recall not too long ago a conversation I was having with a group of friends at a party. We weren't besties, but we weren't acquaintances either. Everyone was on fairly good terms with each other, and occasionally we would go beyond small talk to discuss work, relationships, and the like. Somewhere along the conversation, we talked about toxic managers at work, office pressure, and balance. That's when a question came up about why people feel burned out and out of balance. That's when one of them said the following, with a bright smile on his face. Quote, "I don't know. I'm just depressed all the time, I guess." Upon hearing this, another responded with a smile of her own. "Oh my God, me too. I feel my anxiety all the time, which makes me super stressed at work. I need a vacation." Following this, the whole group started laughing and moved on to talking about travel before they filled their cups with some more alcohol. There are a few ways we can look at this. One, this group was just having a good time and venting about their work. Two, this group was slightly tipsy, so they didn't pay a lot of attention to what they were saying, and so they probably didn't mean it. Three, this group has individuals who are struggling with serious mental conditions but aren't comfortable with talking about it openly. So they rely on humor as a means of deflection to preserve themselves in front of the whole group, the avoidance of being vulnerable. Using humor and sarcasm is often associated with being witty, a sign of high emotional intelligence, is what they say. Like most things in life, though, moderation is key, and humor and sarcasm are no different. Too much can make it difficult to have a conversation with someone, especially when everything they say is made out to be a joke, a sarcastic remark, or an attempt at undermining something as a means to appear humorous. But why does this happen? Recently, I did an episode titled The Ego Game, where I talked about how we all have individual identities that we've created for ourselves as a means of living in society. These identities may seem authentic, but they're merely illusions that don't hold a lot of substance. We still need them to function in society, and that's about the end of story. And this can be broken down with the following self-reflective questions that relate to humor and sarcasm. Question one, what we think of ourselves. Question two, what we think others think about ourselves. And three, what we would like others to think about ourselves. Now, because something like self-worth is not quantifiable, the answer to question one is usually that either we think that we're better than we are, or we think that we're worse than we are. This affects our understanding and responses to questions two and three. If we think we're better than we actually are, we tend to live with the proverbial chip on our shoulders, the innate urge to prove ourselves to everyone, wherever the opportunity arises. We want to establish dominance at work, or in friendships, or relationships. We're blinded by our narcissism to the point where no amount of validation is ever enough to satiate our egos. On the flip side, if we believe that we're worse than we actually are, we tend to live with a certain amount of self-doubt all the time. Not humility necessarily, self-doubt. A sign that someone thinks this way is the use of excessive self-deprecating humor. Once again, not to be confused with humility. Self-deprecating humor where one undermines his or her achievements or capabilities because they either don't feel worthy of certain credit or they believe that the validation is disingenuous. And this brings us to question three, what we would like others to think about us. And here's where the facade is most prevalent, and where social media acts as our assistant, serving us whatever we want on a silver plate full of dopamine and validation. This is also where humor and sarcasm shine the most, because using humor and sarcasm is a convenient way to deflect certain conversations without necessarily being upfront about one's boundaries and preferences. By creating a facade through social media or in real life, we preserve what we truly hold to be true by creating a false narrative so that we don't appear vulnerable. It's more common than you think. There may be multiple reasons why this happens. Some people have trauma that they deal with, experiences in the past where someone took advantage of their trust, manipulated, or even gaslighted them, destroying every ounce of trust they were capable of placing in another individual. Alternatively, some people feel that no matter what they do or who they speak to, they just won't be heard. They may be listened to, but they won't feel heard. What does this mean? Again, in the ego game, I point out that we each have different versions of ourselves that we portray in front of different individuals in our lives. The way we talk and behave varies from when we're at work, with family, with acquaintances, with close friends, with partners, etc. This is because not all conversations are appropriate for all individuals. We pick and choose our conversations and the versions of ourselves we wish to put forward because we feel like this is the version that will be understood the best and is the most relevant in said situation. For instance, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to talk about our relationships or childhood, whether good or bad, to our local barista during our 10 a.m. coffee run. Regardless of how polite they might be or how desperate we may be for personal connection, it simply just isn't the right environment. Sometimes we may feel like what we really believe may not be understood by anyone. This is a symptom of loneliness, but rather than accepting it or seek help, we may resort to sarcasm or humor to preserve the facade. Because reputation is very important for the ego, and who wants to admit to being lonely? It may take a few attempts at having a conversation before we realize that no matter how much we try, no matter who we speak to, our message is simply just getting lost in translation. We try to explain something, and rather than being heard, we either get advice or have the other person fill the gaps before they start talking about how they can relate so hard. We all know someone like that. So why does any of this matter? So what if someone relies on humor and sarcasm as their armor against other people? As I mentioned before, having a conversation with these people can be challenging. Of course, if they're an acquaintance, then it may not matter much. But any hopes of fostering a deeper connection with these people can be challenging because they tend to make a joke out of everything. Topics like anxiety, depression, stress, and burnout are not funny, and they never will be. No number of smiles and laughs will change that. This isn't an attempt to demonize these individuals. It's not uncommon to see such people rely on alcohol as a crutch to deal with their emotions. If not alcohol, they may just accept their fate and internalize their emotions and suffer, rather than talk about it in the hopes of feeling better. This isn't to say that talking about it necessarily will help. It may not. It may even make it worse. No part of this is meant to be easy. But that shouldn't stop us from trying, especially if we're talking about those who are close to us. Anyone can put up pseudo-inspirational posts and stories on Instagram and TikTok preaching about independence, solitude, and self-preservation. I'm of the firm opinion that anyone who believes that solitude is good hasn't necessarily struggled with loneliness. There's a difference between being comfortable in your own company and choosing to be alone. There are people of all sorts, shapes, and colors out there, and that's what makes this world interesting. Now, one might argue that if anyone has a problem with someone who behaves this way, to just avoid them altogether. There is truth to this, but only to an extent. As mentioned earlier, it becomes a tricky space to navigate if they're particularly close to you. But also, excessive humor and sarcasm about sensitive topics like anxiety, depression, and loneliness display a lack of empathy towards people who genuinely suffer from these conditions, including the person who is making these comments. If we are to live in a society where mental health is given the amount of attention it should receive, it's imperative to preserve a culture where openly communicating about these subjects with someone is treated with respect and understanding. This doesn't mean talking about your issues to a random stranger you met at a party 15 minutes ago, but rather to voice it out with someone you trust to help deal with it. If that's not an option, then know that your shield of humor and sarcasm may not be as effective as you think it is. It may be solid to some, transparent to others. Next time you see someone making these jokes, maybe ask them, "What are you dealing with? Are you aware of your shield, that it may be more transparent than you think?"